live from the 2011 Great American Beer Festival, Oscar Blues Brewery's Triple Lindy, featuring the home run all-stars from Oscar Blues, Hops and Heifers 50-acre farm, head brewer Dave Chichura, chef Jason Rogers, and farmer Jeff Hess. Good evening, everyone. I'm Carolyn Smigalski, the Beer Fox, the editor of Beer and Brewing at Bella Online. I'm here on behalf of the Brewers Association, which is the trade association for craft brewers nationwide. The Brewers Association presents the Great American Beer Festival, the World Beer Cup, and savor an American craft beer and food experience in Washington, D.C. This is the 30th annual Great American Beer Festival, and it sold out in just 1 week. Leading our team tonight is the head brewer of the widely acclaimed Oscar Blues Brewery in Lyons and Longmont, Colorado. As part of the canned beer apocalypse, Oscar Blues is a Colorado legend with a gold medal at the World Beer Cup, a ranking as number 8 of the top 25 American brewers at Beer Advocate, and in the top 5 list of U.S. extreme beers at the New York Times. Bagumna Imperial IPA, Old Chub and Mama's Little Yellow Pills just weren't enough. Our brewer wanted more and demanded fresh. After all that, his homegrown hops, double dry hop strong ale, was rolled out to the market. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dave Chichura. Our culinary expert is the executive chef of the Oscar Blues Homemade Liquids and Solids restaurant in Longmont, Colorado, and has appeared as a star in high def on local Colorado Channel 4 and Channel 2. Cooking with Oscar Blues incredible beers, now featuring all-natural Black Angus beef grazed on grass at the Hops and Heifers farm, please welcome Chef Jason Rogers. Our team is brought together in triple steps and swinging rhythm through the farming side at Oscar Blues Hops and Heifers 50-acre farm. Pursuing both the animal and the growing nature of the farm, our farmer has become the legendary fodder of the farm. Sorry about that. With his Black Angus beef and aromatic homegrown hops, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome farmer Jeff Hess.
I guess I'm in charge for a minute here. Thank you all very much for coming out. Really appreciate it. It's great to see so many people here. And I find it myself that I think I play a very small part in this when it comes down to it. It's really what you're going to be experiencing here tonight is going to be pretty much the Jeff and Jason show. I will provide some color commentary here as I can. We're going to turn it over to Jason here in just a second because he does have that sexy headset on. But thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. How many people got what the Triple Lindy was referring to? Anyone? All right, cool. Since our marketing guy, Chad, likes it so much, at some point I will be randomly performing the Triple Lindy, at least the preamble. I will do it at some point, as yet undetermined. But I really appreciate you guys coming out. We're going to get Jason here on the mic here in just a second, and he's going to start cooking up some grub, and then we're going to turn it over to Jeff Hess. He's going to tell you all about how we intermingle this whole thing that is Oscar Blues. Whatever it is, it's a morphing thing. It started out as just a restaurant and bar, and then it turned into a brew pub, and then it turned into a brew pub that produced a a big old bunch of beer that people wanted all over the place, and they put it into cans. And it got bizarre and weird and strange and busy. And then all of a sudden it blew up a few years ago. We opened up our production brewery up in Longmont, and we're just about maxed out. It's crazy stuff. I'm just going to tell you one more thing is when I started with Oscar Blues 6 years ago, we did 5,000 barrels production that year. And I still remember our first 400 barrel production month, and it was incredible. It's like, wow, 400 barrels. We're really tearing it up. We're looking to do close to 60,000 barrels this year. The beer is better than it's ever been. The package has taken off, as you all know. There was a time a few years ago when there were just about, well, there's just us. And then there were a couple more. And I remember probably like 4 or 5 years ago, there were 13 breweries in the U.S., craft brewers, putting their beer in cans. There are over 130 craft breweries putting their beer in cans now. Some of them have chosen the path that we have, which is to do it solely as your package. Others have added it to their repertoire. And it's great when you see that the legitimacy of the canned beer, the can as a package for craft beer, that people are not turning their noses up at it. Canned beer is no longer something that you think is just this thing that tastes like metal. And it doesn't really have any flavor other than that. And that you can put anything you want into a can, and it's going to be amazing, and it's actually the best package for beer. Thank you.
All right. I think Dave gets a headset next time. Okay. Tonight we're making, we're raising some short ribs from Jeff's Excellent Farm. You can step in.
Hey, I got a knock-knock joke for you.
Oh, yeah. We got some beautiful short ribs here. We're going to braise these up with Old Chub, a little veal stock brown sugar, and we're going to make a fall vegetable succotash. I don't know. They didn't hand out a menu, but it's succotash. To keep that straight. Succa. Succa. Along with that, you know, we're keeping it local in Boulder County. Jeff's farm is in the shadow of Haystack Mountain. We brought in some of Haystack Mountain's goat cheese with roasted green chilies. We're going to make a little Haystack Mountain goat cheese cream. We're going to drizzle it all on top, and you guys are going to be knocked out. We got also the HGH. Good mic.
Yeah, there's some flyers on the table that talk a little bit about the homegrown hops.
I think we're going to start off. We're going to start off with the chub. Everybody's going to get a sample of chub so you can get the idea of the braise and on the palate. And then we're going to go to the HGH. I'm going to jump in back and plate up with the students back here. And these guys will talk about hops on the farm. So I'm going to go ahead and get started cooking. Jeff, if you want to jump in, talk about beef. And
I got a knock-knock joke for you.
Knock-knock. All right, go ahead.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
What?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow. It's good.
There we go. It's there. All right, Jason Rogers and Dave Chichura. All right, so here we go. I mean, absolutely incredible, dream come true opportunity for me to, a year and a half ago, walk in as a farm boy from Massachusetts and be able to put together a plan for this 50-acre farm that the Katechis family has owned for about 6 years now. But my God, you really got to hand it to Dave. You know, it started back in 96. I'm not sure what everybody was doing in 96. I knew what I was doing. I was just getting started on the craft beer revolution, but he started out there with Rock Bottom Brewery, and then he moved into Bell's Brewing, and then moved his way up through the ranks and started a Mountain Sun over here in Boulder. And then this is what grabs me. Started with Oscar Blues in 05 when they were doing 5,000 barrels of beer. And then so his life has been from 2005 to today, from 5,000 barrels of beer to 60,000 this year. So please, Dave runs the show now. He's the man, dude. Really, and just a meticulous individual as far as detail goes, and that's the craft beer deal, right? We're talking about quality, attention to detail, and really just trying to put out the best possible product we can And that's what the farm's all about, too. So a little bit about the farm. We'll talk about the farm. It's a beautiful piece of property that was owned by Dr. George Maxwell, who is a retired orthopedic surgeon in Boulder, who's still alive today, 94 years young. I called up George one day, and I said, Mr. Maxwell, I was talking to Dale, and I said, Dale, do you have his number? We got to talk to him. There's all this irrigation stuff going on. There's some broke. I have no idea what this works. And so give him a call. I gave him a call, and I called up Mr. Maxwell, and I said, Mr. Maxwell, can I come out and buy you a cup of coffee or take you out for a coffee, and we'll talk a little bit about the farm that you spent the majority of your life on? And he said, no, I don't get around much anymore. But you can come over here for a beer. I was like, holy cow, there we go. So George Maxwell's been an influential part of the farm. And really what we're trying to do is integrate the brewery and the farm and the restaurants all in a nice little circle. And it works out great because the brewery kicks out mash, which is the first product, the byproduct of the brew system, which we supplement our 20 purebred Angus with. And we give them a mash supplement, which is a 30% protein. So they're grass-fed with a little bit of mash. Keeps them nice and lean and mean. And then we put in a 2-acre hop field, high trellis hop field. We have we had 8 varieties that we yielded hops off this year. The HGH we'll get to in a little bit. And we're looking at wastewater options to use at the farm. And then we're going to do some vegetables. We got some Atlantic giant pumpkins out there right now. We're trying to get one big enough to put a keg in. So it is just an awesome time to be involved with Oscar Blues. And we really appreciate you guys, because you guys are driving it. You're driving that locally grown, all-natural stuff. And, man, it took us like 20 minutes to get the hops from the farm into the beer. But I think it's pretty good. It would have taken 30 if Dale was riding his bike, but we actually drove it over to the brewery. But anyway, we really appreciate you guys, because you're driving the revolution, and that's what makes all this possible. And we really appreciate all your enthusiasm towards OB. So fire up, check out the blog, oscarblues.com, and we'll keep it rolling.
All right, these guys are running for president. Here we go. So we got the short ribs in a pan. We started off with some extra virgin olive oil. These short ribs came from the farm. This is the first cow that we brought the process to put these into a pan. Next, you know, we didn't talk about the produce here. All this produce, half of it produced on our farm, the other half produced right down the street at one of our very good friends that grows organic produce. I mean, this stuff you would think was fake. It's unbelievable. These carrots he picked this morning. Knock my hot plate over.
We need to do some work here.
Please. Yeah. There you go. Eat a carrot. Anyway. So we got the short ribs braising up. We're gonna get started on the succotash. Succotash, traditionally, lima beans, you know, Plymouth Rock, there's connections here. We're not gonna do any of that. We're gonna take fall vegetables, we're gonna put them all together, and our connection from the Southwest, we're gonna bring in roasted green chilies. We have roasted green chilies in our goat cheese. We have roasted green chilies from our farm. Everything taken care of today, and we're going to build it up from there. These are going to keep raising. In a couple minutes, Jeff, my assistant, starting now, will deglaze with Old Chub. Careful of the hot plate. It's a hot plate. There you go. All right. I'll tell you when. Okay, next, before I burn the onions, we're gonna add a little pork belly. Look at this stuff. Can you see anything out there? Look at this. Woo! Pork belly!
That's not a little pork belly.
Yeah, this came in 3 days ago. We cured this. We smoked it in-house. We rendered it. We're gonna add it right into there. So this is homemade bacon, or better.
Great.
Almost there. Almost.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell me
when. Oh, not yet. Hold on.
I'll drink this, dude.
All right. So we've got different veggies here. We've got beets that we've roasted. We have eggplant. Look at these eggplant that we got in. Some of the most beautiful eggplant I've ever seen at kohlrabi. Jeff, do you want to talk about kohlrabi at all? You're eating. Get the mic. Tell the crowd about Kohlrabi.
I'll tell you about Kohlrabi. It's funny because we put together this plan on the farm, a sustainability plan with an enterprise budget and all this stuff, and it was about 2 acres of hops. And the attitude at Oscar Blue as you get involved with them, Dale holds the accelerator right to the floorboards, and we all just keep the car on the road. And so we're like putting hop poles in and planting hops, and then it's like, how about a garden? How about a deck? How about, you know, so we put a little garden together, and then I get with this guy, and he's like, hey, how about some, I need this certain pumpkin, I need these squash, I need this kohlrabi. I was like, kohlrabi, I mean, try to spell that. I'll tell you what, we planted them from seed, from Johnny's Seed Company, great seed company, planted them from seed, we sold them like 3 weeks apart, and these are the neatest little vegetable. They're like a little tiny compact cabbage head, and Jason makes this incredible little shaved coleslaw with them. It's like the easiest thing to grow in the world. I was like, rock star kohlrabi grower. I didn't even know what they were. I was like, yeah, I bought my kohlrabi, man. He's like, whoa. And so, actually, they're fairly expensive on the market, too, so.
No. Don't talk price.
Yeah. Not here. Just separate business, hops and heifers. We're always negotiating on stuff here.
All right, let's deglaze this puppy. Let's throw a little onions and celery in there. Wait on the beer. Wait. Onions, celery.
What's the beer in it already, man? Come on, do it.
These are carrots, believe it or not. These beautiful carrots.
Hit
it.
Beer in
do
it.
Do it. Keep going. Whole can. Don't mess up your shirt. There you go. Beautiful.
He really got into it. That was nice.
We're going to let that warm up a little bit, and then we're going to add a little veal stock. little for the sauce, little for the chef. The farmer knows. We know what's going on out there on the between the rows. Oh, look at that. Wow. All right, we're going to add some roasted eggplant, the chilies. Let that go a little longer. Carrots, zucchini. You know, we didn't talk yet about this, the Haystack green chili goat cream. It's as simple as that. We scalded cream. We added goat cheese to it. It doesn't need a whole lot. I added a little salt. I'll whisk that in. You see this? See this coming together? We've got these roasted beets. These were done ahead of time. We salt roasted these. We're going to add these in the very end here. Everything is coming together. And we'll get ready for plate up. Yeah, what are we missing here? No. We don't need to flip them. We have a little veal stock.
There we go.
That's the best part.
There we go.
What's that you just threw on there, buddy?
Okay, so this goes into the braise for 4 hours. Our ribs, they braise for 4 hours. They're falling off the bone. What you guys are about to try, we've actually taken the bone off. It's some of the best braised short ribs I've ever had. Old Chub, you know, it's a very low, much more maltier, low hop beer. It's going to play more into the sweetness and richen up these ribs. You guys are going to be stoked. And I'm sure you can see this now. But that's what we got going on. This stuff all came from Colorado. This is all into the season. It's the best produce that we could find.
It's gorgeous, man. It's like every color is in there, man.
This guy's loving it. All right, I'm going to run it back. I'm going to plate up with the students in back. These guys are going to talk about the HGH. We produced some hops this year, and we made a beer out of it. And we got an excellent beer and food pairing coming out. So let me run it back, and you guys take it for a minute here.
Right on. Hey, guys, give it up for Jason. Look at that guy.
Now, give that up.
Who knew? He's the next big TV star. Look at the guy. We will talk a little bit about the beer. The HGH is going to get out to you guys in a little bit. I think maybe there might be... Jason wanted to actually serve that with what he's cooking up right now. So I think in the meantime, I think we're throwing out a little goodnight to you guys. I'm sure you probably won't mind that. That's pretty much universally everyone's favorite beer who works at Oscar Blues. So we'll get a little bit of that out to you. And when Jason finishes up whipping up what he's doing there in the back, we'll get some HGH out to you. So I make sure you know, as far as you know, Jeffrey goes, and he actually prefers to be called Jeffrey. I haven't really delved into that yet. He doesn't like the Jeff thing. But he's a fairly legitimate individual. He went to Cornell University, studied plant science. That's where he got his undergrad. And then he ended up out at CSU, and he got his master's of integrated resource management. And so he's pretty well qualified to take care of this big project. And he, like I said, he is a huge part of what is going on. If there's anyone who's really working this whole thing, it's Jeff. He's the guy who's coming over with a trailer and parking it in the on the north side of our building and directing the flow of our spent grain tube to fill up this trailer so he can go feed the cows. And he started out with just 10 head of cattle out there, some pregnant cows, and they all calved. And so we got, 20 head out there now, right?
No, well, we thank you, first of all. I mean, you got more introduction than that? That's probably enough. Right.
Actually, I'm going to finish the introduction here, too. And then also, it's not his first foray into dealing with plants. The guy actually worked for Monrovia Farms for the last 20 years, dealing with all sorts of nursery stock. And so he really, I don't know how the heck we found this guy, but... It is kind of a really serendipitous thing for us, because when Dale started talking about doing this farm a year or so ago, he's like, "Yeah, we got to find a farmer." Like, yeah, man, all right. How the hell you do that? I mean, sure, you can find a farmer, but we can find a guy who can actually grow plants and raise cattle and deal with all the intricacies of that, and deal with also getting, you know, some of our brewery waste, our spent grain, and eventually we're going to be broadcasting some of our effluent as well, bringing out some of the gray water out there as well to get out on the farm. This guy's really got it wrapped up pretty well, and we couldn't ask for a better person to have with us. I just want to let you know also that he is the official drummer for the as of yet formed. Not really formed, haven't really played yet, but the best band that you will ever, never probably hear in your life, the Strategic Beef Plan, Jeff Hess.
Thank you, man. No, that's, I tell you, this is one of those things, you know, where you just fell into it, but awesome. But this guy, though, straight up, I mean, you can only imagine 1996 when this is, like David said earlier, was the second... It was the start of the second revolution, and just amazing to be in touch with the individuals that make Oscar Blues Oscar Blues. And you know, we refer to Dale, and he's the, you know, the keystone in the company. But boy, he has an art to assemble talent that is just incredible, and enthusiastically pursues their job every day. And Dave here is an incredible, impeccable, detail oriented individual. And you think about 96. I don't know what. What kicked it off to get you into the craft beer revolution at that point?
I mean, well, he just asked, what got me in. We have a hard time hearing up here. I mean, you know, for me, I got into beer. I got into beer. The first beer that I ever drank that was not a Canadian lager, which at that point was my favorite style, was actually, there was a kid who lived down the hall from me in a co-op house I lived in back at Rutgers, and... He bought a six-pack of Guinness Extra Stout, and he did not like it at all. And he offered one to me, and I tried it, and it was completely blown away. I had no idea beer could taste like that. And I was a coffee fan and chocolate. I was a horrible sweet tooth. And to actually find out that beer could taste like that was just a complete opened up my third eye, which had actually previously been opened up in other ways. But anyway, love you, Dale. But that really set me on the course for trying as many different beers as I could. And anytime I went to the liquor store, it was, you know, let's try this. I never had this before. Never had that before. Kind of opened up a whole world. It was really like, I was a wildlife science major in college, and one of the biggest courses for me was a dendrology course. And it was when you learn about trees, different kinds of trees.
prior to that course, all that was out there to me were the ones that the leaves changed color in the fall, and they're the ones that didn't drop their leaves, and they're pines or spruces. Well, that class really opened up my eyes to all the various kinds of trees that there are out there, and I really never looked at a forest in the same way after that. And it was the same thing with the beer, and so that really set me on my course. I started homebrewing in 1994, very basic. I just did a simple straight up all malt extract kit. It fermented. It was beer. It had alcohol in it. It wasn't very good. And then I just kind of poked along from there. But I was all just self-taught. I read a little bit. I, of course, read Charlie's book. That's a pretty standard issue. And a couple other things here and there. But I finally did my first all-grain brew in 1996 in January. I'll never forget it. It's the best beer I ever made. And fast forward a couple months, and here I am. I was working at a little brew pub in Indianapolis, the Broad Ripple Brew Pub. I was working in the kitchen there. Still my favorite brew pub ever. And working in the kitchen there, I was always bugging the brewer. Hey, man, I'd love to help you out. I'll do it for free. I'll sign a waiver for my safety. No, that didn't happen. The owner wasn't seeing any of that. But he told me one day, and in fact, I remember the date, I swear. It was May 8th of 1996 that he told me. He said, hey, I just got a phone call from the guy who's going to be brewing at the Rock Bottom downtown. He's looking for an assistant brewer. Was wondering if I could recommend anybody, and I thought of you. Do you want the number? I said, absolutely. I proceeded to bug the shit out of that guy, pardon my language, for the next 2 weeks until I got the job. And started out a entry-level job, Rock Bottom in Indianapolis. And, that's what did it. So he mentioned, like, the second, that was like the first craft beer revolution, sort of on the tail end of it. That was a rough time. There were a lot of breweries kind of starting up, and there were a lot of breweries going under at the same time. People figured out after a while, it's like it's not as easy. It's not just a trend. You can't just latch onto a trend, throw somebody at it, and expect you to have really good beer. Right now we've learned a lot from that, I think. And we're seeing the resurgence now in this year with a ridiculous amount of breweries opening everywhere. They're all over the place, from the nanos to people start out a little bit bigger than that. But it's an amazing thing. And I really hope that it doesn't, suffer the same fate as it did in the mid-90s. I don't think it's going to. There's so many people out there, so many great qualified brewers. We have the biggest bunch of great qualified brewers in the United States now. That and we have now two full generations of people that's what they do. They've grown up on craft beer. Their dad's beer was Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. It wasn't old style. Nothing against them. It wasn't Pabst. For damn sure, it wasn't Red Dog. But it's really cool. So I'm rambling here. This is very freewheeling up here. So, a little rah rah. But it's good stuff, and I love beer, and I love what's happening, and I love the fact that y'all are here right now. I've been to the GABF probably about 12 times now since 1996. And to see it grow to this point that we are actually having things like this going on, where I am actually so talkative that Jason's waiting for me to get done here. This is beautiful. But to see that just the media that's involved in here, to see that how much craft beer has penetrated through society in so many ways. You see it in your TV shows, and you hear it referenced everywhere. It's fantastic. And I don't know what the original point was, but I really thank you guys. And let's eat some food and drink some beer.
I'm not on. Oh, I'm on. Look at that. All right, so we're coming out with the food right now. I believe we've made our rounds with HGH. We've talked about hops. Got it. So we're coming out right now. Everything has turned out perfect. These short ribs are going to melt in your mouth. Unbelievable. This is the freshest produce around. We talked about it a little bit, but nothing else was added here. This is olive oil, salt, pepper, and the real flavor of what this is. There's no reason to add extra spice or extra herbs or anything like that. And it's just something for us all to be proud of, what we're a part of and where we live and where it's coming from. I'll throw the hops thing back, but let me tell you my take on it first. You have this incredibly rich piece of meat. These farm fresh vegetables are going to add a green fresh flavor along with, you know, the sweetness of squash. You know, we had some butternut squash we threw in there. That is just coming to season. And then this green chili, there's green chilies in the succotash and green chilies in the cream. You know, a lot of times when we pair hoppier beers or beers that have a interesting hop profile, we want to put a little spice behind it because it plays into it and it helps it all round out in the mouth. I think the dish itself rounds really well. And then the HGH, it'll bring up this hop profile and you'll get it on the back of the palate. But I'll let the boys talk about it. And the food will be coming out right now.
HGH.
HGH.
Just so you know, Jeff is on HGH at all times.
Look at that guy. That physique doesn't just happen.
Good.
While there is actually no human growth hormone in this beer, it does have some homegrown hops. And and we have this guy to thank for it. You know, I don't know if we got into the varieties yet, but, you know, growing 8 different varieties out there. And really, when we started talking about what we're going to be growing out on the farm, a lot of it was just based on, well, what do we put in Dale's Pale Ale? Well, we put Nugget in there. We put a pretty good amount of Cascade in there, some Columbus, and a very humongous amount of Centennial. And so that's a good basis of what we're growing out there. We also put in some Mount Hood. We also put in some Sterling, which is a sort of a Sots, kind of a substitute. We have used that in the past for our Pilsner. It's a really good effect. It's a great hop. And we also put in some Chinook, which did really well. And so, you know, first year we did all right. Did all right. I don't know what our total harvest amount was, but we did, we got a couple few pounds here and there, 10, 20 pounds of this, 10, 20 pounds of that, and we're able to get enough to put into this beer, the HGH. So we definitely put in some Nugget from the farm and added some Centennial, and it made this kind of unique kind of a beer for us. It's a little bit of a departure. Definitely has a nice fruitiness to it. As well as both from fermentation and from the hops, and a pretty assertive malt character going through it. Probably finished out fermentation wise in the high fours, Play-Doh. So it does have a good enough mouthfeel to handle all those hops. It is about a 60 IBU venture, and it's going to go really well with. I see how savory this dish is looking over here. And I think it's going to be just a really amazing thing once we get it into everybody's palate here. But good stuff. I think we're going to throw it over to Jason here for a second.
Dave eats with me every day. All right, so it's coming around. I failed to mention that we also paired walnuts with this too. We made a sweet and salty, spicy walnut that... It all comes together, you know. I can't talk too much about it, but is it getting around? How do you guys feel? How's it taste? About half the room. All right, thank you. I'm gonna try a little bit of this. I can't. Not that I haven't been eating it all day. You know. You get into Braised Short Ribs in the middle of GABF. We're running. We're lucky enough to have a very successful 43 tap beer bar in Longmont. So a lot of folks from all over the country have come out to see us. So lunch is just going bananas, you know. And it's a big day, and we're trying to produce this food and. I knew I had 115 people to cook for, and I think it turned out perfect. It wouldn't have been good if we weren't busy. If I had all day and it was quiet, it wouldn't have been the same. You got to move and groove.
You got to understand, too, that really I was in San Felipe, Mexico with my beautiful wife over here one time, and we drove by a fish store, and it said, "Our fish slept in the ocean last night." And I thought that was the coolest thing. Like, wow, man, that's pretty fresh. So the beef that you're enjoying and then the hops that you're enjoying, literally, we're under the same stars that we're under tonight about 40 days ago. So that's pretty cool. And the hops is an incredible vine. To be a little bit more about the HGH beer, I mean, it's a rhizomious vine that grows upwards of 20 feet in a matter of a few months. And the first year, you always got to kind of look at whether you really harvest the cones or don't. As an immature plant, a lot of people don't harvest the cones. We wanted to get some data back on them, so we did do a picking party, which is one thing we like to integrate at the farm, is the employees out there to come out and get their hands dirty and have some fun. But we got a lot of great lab results. We sent our analytical dried cones to Haas Hops up in Yakima, Washington, and then also forwarded some to a local lab to get some good data back, because we're looking for next year. It's interesting, when you deal with these guys, they don't mess around. They don't want shitty hops. They want perfect hops. So we learned that curve, when that alpha climbs on the nugget, for instance, we got to get it just right at the peak before it starts to go too far down. If we get it before, what was it, cucumber? That's really I got a text one day from, I got a text one day from Dave. He's like, smells like cucumber. And I was like, is that good, or is that, I don't think that's good. I don't think beer and cucumbers do well together. So anyway, we learned a lot, and we were able to really kind of, you know, nail it down. So next year, boom, we'll be on it, we'll be tight. The vines look great. We want to integrate you guys to come out to the farm anytime. We're going to get more tours going. We've been doing a bunch of tours through the Oscar Blues ordeal. Over 200 people have been out there this last week. We built it not only from a production basis, but an aesthetically pleasing basis too. Because if you've ever seen a hop farm, it's just really cool how the vines are green and lush and grow so high, and it really makes nice rows, and it's just a fun thing to kind of hang out in. We built a brand new 600 square foot deck where we're going to have shows out there now. Here's another funny story, because we had a gospel brunch here yesterday. Some of the crowd might have been out there. Man, that was the first really kind of we were welding railing at like 10 o'clock at night, like, shit, man, they're going to be here tomorrow. I hope they don't lean too hard on this railing because it'll come off. And Dale shows up, and it was awesome. Dale's mom made this table, and it was just, silver candelabra and freaking totally out of this world. And we're looking at the deck, and I look over at Dale, and looks at me, and goes, man, I told you to build me a deck. You built me a stage. Now you need to build me a deck. So anyway, that's, again, keeping the throttle down. But what a great place. Got to get you guys out there. Farmer, G-E-O-F-F, at Oscar Boozer. If you have any questions, concerns, issues, get in touch with us. It's photos. All about you guys. Thank you.
Photos. Personal photos.
Photos. Yeah.
So, you know, our presentation tonight, you know, we want to demonstrate the connection between the three of us. And obviously, you know, an hour is not enough time. You could spend all week with us to see how it works. And, you know, the intricacies of Dave's job in a size brewery that he's running, into the restaurant business, into the farm and the cattle and the produce and everything that this idea of farm to table, and it's almost become generic, but for a beer company to say that we're doing it for real and that we're actually having a good time doing it, we're with a bunch of guys that we like being with, and putting it together. And figuring it out as we go. You know, there's a lot for us to learn, but I think that you know, as it comes together, you can see on the plate, you can see in your glass, you can see on the stage here that this is a group of guys that are going to make it happen. So I'm really proud to be with these guys.
It's a real love fest here. Thank you, guys. Yeah, one other thing that I think has been a cool, like, little interconnectedness of our the three operations too, beyond the HGH and the whole thing with the awesome meal, you know, little tidbit we're having here is we also just recently did a smoked porter that we
wrap our arms.
A portion of that malt was smoked at HMLS, at Homemade Liquids and Solids, and on the smoker, the same smoker that they use to smoke the amazing ribs and chicken wings that are there, and brisket.
and we used a good portion of that, and there were actually chunks of meat in the malt.
We're not going to confirm or deny that there might have been meat in that beer.
I saw it. I brewed the beer. They were chunks. Visible, tasty,
nugget,
delicious chunks. Anyway, we brewed up this batch of smoked porter, and that all came from a bike ride, actually. We do a corporate bike ride, anti-corporate bike ride, every week. And about a month or so ago, we were coming down Antelope Trail there up in Lyons. We're taking a little break. I think I just had a flat tire. And Dale just turned to me and he said, "Honey Badger smoked porter." And I said, "Dale, no problem. We'll make that happen." And so there's a local honey company called Madhava, and they do all kinds of great honey. And got in touch with those folks, and we got some wildflower honey from them. Jason went ahead and smoked up a bunch of malt for us.
Just the malt. I always smoked the malt.
Only the malt. That's all he smokes. It was a huge pipe. It was crazy. And then we went. We went up to Lyons, and we had a good time. We brewed up this batch of beer, and turned out really, really good. And the finishing touch on that, which binds the farm into it, you're wondering, well, where's the farm come in? We got the brewery. We got the restaurant. Where's the farm come in? The garnish for this is an amazing meat stick made from the very same bull that you guys just ate here just a little minute ago.
Meat stick!
That is just ever so carefully cut in a diagonal fashion.
Delicately.
And hung on the side of the glass. Right. And it's pretty much probably the best food and beer pairing I've ever seen.
That is it.
So it's been really popular. So actually, we are when we send that beer out, when we sell that beer to draft accounts, we are sending like I think a 30 stick pack of meat sticks with it, because that is the way you serve that. It is not complete until you put the meat stick on there. So if you guys get a chance, you ought to try that one out too. But I'm not sure where else to go right at this point. But thank you very much again. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Thanks, everybody. I'm glad you guys came.
All right, and here is the promise. This is just for Chad.
The Triple Wendy!
Let's give him a big hand! Big hand, thanks to head brewer Dave Chichura, Chef Jason Rogers, and grower Chef Hess. To Mackenzie Latham, thank you. To our student chefs from the Culinary Arts Program at Johnson & Wales, our AV artists, and you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming, and hope to see you tomorrow. Podcasts of these presentations will be available at craftbeer.com in about 2 weeks. Last year's are already on there, so if you're interested, go on to craftbeer.com. Thank you.